was born bold.
Worth's app makes mobile ordering easy. Download it now. The value of coin increased by 4 cents today to $3.64. What is your coin worth today? Summer Breakfast.
21 after 7 on SEN Summer Breakfast. David King and Jack Heverin, 0433 98 11 16. You can keep your texts coming. Anthony from Essendon, just to tie off our ball boy and ball kids conversation, King, he says, thanks for the discussion, boys. My son's just got up and I've told him the good news. He's got 2 weeks off to be a ball kid at the Australian Open.
Oh.
Decision made, thanks to the listeners.
I think Anthony's come to the realisation that the kid's going down a different path.
Maybe. A life on the tour as a ball kid might be the way forward.
School's not for him.
1300 736 736. Now, we are really, really pleased to welcome Luke Beveridge to the show. We're so grateful that all of the coaches, Ben Rutten's going to join us tomorrow. We're so grateful that all of the coaches in the off-season are making themselves available to have a chat to us on Summer Breakfast. Luke, thanks for your time. Good morning.
Morning, Jack. Morning, King.
What's this time of year look like for you at the moment? We spoke to Chris Fagan yesterday and he was in Hamilton Island sitting in a pair of budgie smugglers in the sun. What are you doing this time of year?
It's unfortunately too busy. I was supposed to be on leave, but this period of list management has been as intense as they come due to all the layers and the regulatory aspect of change. And so I'm... My downtime's New Year's. I'm looking forward to Christmas, New Year, so I can chill out for a little while.
That's interesting, Bevo. Do you feel like you're going to get enough of a break? I mean, that's when you see the challenges that's happened clearly with, you know, Reece Shaw springs to mind and such an arduous season, a different season. The gap at the end of the year for coaches, and I've heard Nathan Buckley talk about this and Chris Scott, you've got to ensure that you're in a great state of mind entering 2021. Are you going to be okay? Will you have most of January off, or what will you do?
I'll be fine. I mean, you sign up to it knowing that that's probably your downtime when you've put a little training block in and then you can head into the new year with some peace of mind, although this year's a bit different with the five-year pluses not coming back until January. But I think we've missed an opportunity as an industry. Originally, when I was involved in talks with the pathway, the second tier, the draft during the year, we you know, the wisdom was let's push the under 18 competition in an under 19 realm. Let's push the draft age more towards the 19-year-olds, and just take one 18-year-old each. Now it hasn't turned out that way. There's no caveats on how many 18-year-olds you can take this year. But what that would have meant was you could have the draft in October if it was a 19-year-old draft, because it didn't matter whether young men and women were at school or not. You could have it in October because it's a 19-year-old focus. So rather than get that over and done with and have a break after that, which, you know, the whole industry could shut down, including AFL headquarters, now we're still bridging into the end of November, training period December. So we missed an opportunity for the industry to have some downtime.
Is it too early to start looking at the team, Luke, and the way that you play, the way that you move the footy? There's obviously some rules that are being tweaked at the moment as well, players in new positions. Are those sorts of conversations happening now as well?
Well, they are. And, you know, with the three layers around salary cap and the players affected, it's just causing enormous headaches for the clubs. I think everyone's up in arms about it. And so what that means is, where clubs have got to make a decision on whether they can only carry 36 on their primary list due to the fact that some of the high-paid players won't necessarily get a significant pay cut. It'll be some of the lowest-paid players, and so managing your cap becomes even harder. And also thrown in with that is the reduction in interchange. So coming down to 75, you're now thinking, okay, well, the players without that significant endurance and genetic makeup might be challenged, and it's going to affect players once again if you want to head to that top four.
Have you had a chance to have a bit of a play around with the magnets, particularly in the midfield? Now that you've got Treloar in the front door, it's been a huge get for you, and you've also managed to hang on to Josh Dunkley. So have you had a chance to sit down just yourself in your own quiet time and see what that'll look like?
Oh, I haven't moved. I haven't put anything on a template, you know, in the back of my mind, you know, we understand that we've got on paper a significant amount of inside mids who are candidates to play. Some of those boys can play forward and on wings and even at half back, depending on, you know, how performance and where you want to place them. The other thing is, I mean, with that mix of ours, we've still got some, long-term things on our mind. Tommy, as you know, Liver had a pretty good year, but he's had the recos. We're hoping he can play for another couple of years, but we don't know when that time bomb goes off. And there's some younger guys coming through. But, bringing Stephen Martin in is outstanding for us to support Tim and Big Sweetie. Bringing Mitch Hannon back to the club and what he can do on a wing and as a forward with his speed and aerial aspect of his game is really exciting for us. And then obviously Jamara's waiting in the wings in the draft. So there's it'd be hard to fit the names onto a 22 player template at the moment.
That sounds perfect, mate, for the coach. But on Dunkley, can we just go forward? Were you shocked when Josh, I haven't heard you speak about this, requested an opportunity somewhere else or entertain that? Clearly, that was not where you were going as a football club. You weren't prepared to entertain that, or if you were, it was at a significant cost. What did that statement or that request do to you? Does it make you challenge and think about what is happening at your football club, whether it be, you know, the behaviour or the cultural side of things, given that Josh had raised that?
Oh, not really. I mean, it was a surprise. And when Dunks and I caught up last week, I talked to him about the two sides of it, really, the emotional side. Josh and I are very close. I've spent a lot of time with him just talking about life as much as footy. And I delegate to our coaches for the technical side of the game. But I feel like I've spent enough more time than most of our players talking to him about key aspects of his game. So the personal connection between him and I is really strong. So I had to sort of contain my emotions and try and put it into some kind of perspective. And the other side was really the clinical coach-player side. And we've invested a lot in Josh over the last 5 years. He's blossomed as a player. We feel like, you know, he's definitely applied himself. He's a professional, but our program's really helped him get to where he's got to. And so for all the different reasons and the weight of the reasons as to why he might consider the move to another club, my discussion with him was that that doesn't matter. You know, I mean, all that matters to me and to our club is that he's with us. If we delve into the whys and the wherefores, it's not going to help us settle him again and bridge him into the future. And if there is any tension there, you know, as far as, you know, what he feels is something that affects him, then we need to discuss it. But, you know, he reassures me that things are fine. It was a huge surprise for all of us. This is a really different one for, I think, the whole competition and the market keeps throwing up different examples and some things just don't fit into little boxes and it's a bit grey. So we move on, fortunate that he's still with us, and we look forward to him being a key contributor next year.
Lucas, as a coach, you are the type that wraps your arms around your players. It's one of your great assets and it's been spoken about frequently. Lockie Hunter's had a very difficult year. There's no question about that, but off the field, how is he going? More so than anything else, put his footy aside for a moment here. Lockie Hunter is the person. How is he?
To be honest, Jack, it's a really difficult question to answer, especially on air. Let's be honest, and I'm sure Lockie would be okay with me saying that he's, as you're alluding to, he's had a disappointing year. You know, obviously socially off the field, he's had some challenging times dealing with some personal struggles in his life. and he hasn't necessarily managed it too well, and he's needed support that maybe we haven't given him enough of, and that's something we need to be sensitive to. As you saw when he came back into the fold the second time and played again, he started to have the usual influence on performance. But why I paint that picture and lay a foundation, it's to say that Lockie's got some challenges in the future. There's no doubt about it. And the long-winded answer of answering whether or not he's okay, I don't think he's where he wants to be quite yet. And I think time, application, performance, but also that that better balance of in his life is needed, and that needs to be a long-term thing. So in the short term, you know, hopefully we get to the early part of the season and he's settled and he's in the team and he's playing good footy. For the longer term, we hope over the ensuing years that he continues to mature and settle in life and he's going to be okay. But he's got some challenges on his hands.
Bevo, Dogs fans out there getting very excited, you know, hearing the wants for players to now come to the Western Bulldogs. You talked about Jamara and what he's going to be able to do, hopefully, in his first year of AFL football. It's so exciting to have talent like that walk in the door. Where do you see the team at now? I mean, are you a team that's going to break into the top four, having had success only a few seasons ago, but not necessarily being a top four home and away team just yet. Is that the next step to entrench yourself in that part of the ladder?
Obviously finishing top four, as you know, it's stating the obvious, it helps your ultimate chances of pulling the whole thing off. We come away from this year disappointed again. We've beaten by under a goal in an elimination final where we, to the Saints' credit, they won the game and they had a terrific year, the Saints, but our performance was too far below par. I mean, it was a step up on the previous year where we got bullied by GWS. And so we managed to sort out a few integrity issues as far as the physical side of the game. But we come away from the year, as much as it was extremely challenging, the circumstances for everyone, we endured. We were strong enough to weather the storm and get to the final series and come late again, and it's a credit to all our players and our staff to do that. But the margin between being a team that wins enough games to be in the top four or is in the lower part of that eight, it seems small, but it's significant. And we've identified along the way what the things were that circumvented our opportunity to beat some of those top four sides along the way. And it wasn't a lot on the scoreboard with most of them. They're just key things. And we know the things that we can get right to do that. And I feel we're well placed. You know, we're another year on. We're going to be a little bit more mature. We feel like we've got some strong players coming in. And our players are well aware of what those things are that are going to take us to the next level. And I think we're well placed, Kingy.
Luke, we so much appreciate your time this morning. Thanks for joining us. We know there's a lot going on at the moment, so we appreciate your time. Thanks for the chat.
Thanks, Jack. Thanks, Kingy.
Luke Beveridge, the coach of the Western Bulldogs, joining us there. A bit to talk about, Kingy. We'll do that after the news.
I was born boy.
The Worth app makes ordering your workshop consumables and products a breeze. Download it today. The value of coin increased by 4 cents today to $3.64. What is your coin worth today? Summer Breakfast.
17 to 8 on Summer Breakfast, all thanks to Coin. Shop local with coin.com.au and win. David King and Jack Heaven. Michael Klinger, the coach of the Melbourne Renegades, will join us after 8 o'clock. We'll talk about Eddie Maguire after 8 o'clock as well, Kingy. Plus, questions without notice. Still plenty more to come. But the A-League fixture was announced yesterday. It's a good-looking one as well for Melbourne Victory and for A-League fans as well who have been waiting a while. They managed to get the second half of the season done. I should say the first set of lockdown. They got there in the end, And now, very quickly, Victory are back in action tonight. One of their stars, Robbie Cruz, who's not with the team in Doha this week, joins us here on SEN Breakfast. Robbie, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
How's that knee of yours coming along?
Yeah, it's coming along pretty good. I think we're heading probably a little bit better than expected. So, so far, so good. So hopefully everything can go smoothly from now until the start of the season.
So I was going to say, are you almost working back from your own point of view from the start of the season now? Is that the return date for you, or are you hoping there could be something before that?
Obviously, it's a little bit unknown. It wasn't just a simple procedure. So, my aim is to be fit for the start of the season. But, obviously, it's a week-by-week proposition. So, hopefully I'm available first game. But if it's not, then it would be it won't be too far away from that. So, I think, like I said, it can be really soon. But, we'll see how it goes.
Robbie, new coach, new squad. Looks like it's a bit more of an attacking squad. Exciting times ahead.
Yeah, it's always difficult when you put together a new squad. And obviously in the A-League, that happens quite a lot where it's a big turnover of players. So, something I've not used to throughout my career. But in saying that, I think we've recruited really well. We've got a good blend of, youth and experience. So, obviously, it's about trying to get the combinations going, and it's a little bit difficult with the team being over and competing in the ACL at the moment. So they've been thrown into the action without too much preparation. So, it was a decent performance last night, and hopefully we can, get those combinations going and firing for the rest of these games in the Champions League and then for the start of the season.
Is that something that just takes time? I mean, basically half your squad has changed from last season to this season. Is that something that just you need to have a little bit of patience with to get synergies and just get used to playing with each other?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, like I said, I've never really, in Europe, this doesn't happen too often where you get too much of a turnover of squad. So normally it's maybe four or five players. So it's something new to me. But I guess, like you said, it's obviously trying to get, getting into pre-season on the training pitch and getting, those combinations and getting to know one another obviously helps in games. So I think that'll come with, obviously this Asian Champions League is good for the team, obviously, to get, quality games in preparation for the season. And obviously we're there to win games and try and get out of the group. So for me, it'll be a little bit difficult, obviously, coming back later and not being able to train with the team. But I'm confident enough in the coaching staff and the quality we have in the squad to be able to get those combinations going quite soon.
What sort of coach is Grant Brebner? Is he an attacking coach? Is he going to want to score 3-4 goals a game? Or is he a defensive coach that clearly one of the strikers of the competition wouldn't love?
Yeah. Obviously he's an attacking coach. He was here when I was he was here 10, 15 years ago when I was here. So, we had a lot of success back then in the philosophy that we played the game back then with Melbourne Victory, and it was all branded around attacking football. So, he wants to bring that back after the disappointing season we had last year and obviously get the fans going again and playing a good, brand of football. So, but that's not without, obviously, your defensive duties are just a fundamental in football, or in any sport in general. So, it's going to be a tough season, like you said, with all the turnover of players. But I'm confident in Bredsy in the style that he is implementing into the team, and his character as a coach and as a person will definitely bring us all together.
Boys went down last night 3-1 to Beijing. It's a tough ask, Robbie, isn't it? I mean, not only is there four games in 10 days, but your squad's just coming together and playing for the first time versus teams from the Asian leagues who are in season right now.
Yeah, I mean, there's heaps of factors involved. It's like you said, that's one of the massive ones is we're coming in. We played a friendly game against City, a couple of weeks ago. That was our only hit out. So, we're massively underdone, and obviously the combinations aren't there, and they're coming off the back of a full season, so they're at peak fitness. And then you throw in the fact that they got five or six foreigners in that team, which are got massive salaries and massive players in world football, so that makes a huge difference. And but I think it was a decent performance. Obviously, we didn't start too well, but you know, it's difficult, like you said, coming into, you know, first competitive match against a quality opposition like that. So I think we built into the game quite well. So hopefully we can take some positives and build on to the next game.
Let's be honest, Robbie. You don't want them kicking 8 goals without you in the team last night.
Yeah, well, that's what we're all thinking. But, it's all right.
Victory fans, you can stand as one with the club by becoming a member today. To gain priority access to tickets this season, join or renew up as a member before Thursday, December the 3rd, to receive your pack in time for round one. It's a very good deal, this one. Head to gomvfc.com.au for more information. The Victory season starting at home on January 2 of the A-League season coming up. Robbie, thanks so much for your time. Good luck for not only the knee, but good luck for the season coming up.
Cheers, guys. Thanks for having me.
Robbie Crews, one of the stars of Melbourne Victory, joining us, Kingy.
What's, are they expected to be prominent again this year?
Yeah, they'll be good.
They'll be good.
They'll be good, I would have thought. Yeah.
You and know some of these names, recruited well.
Well done to the A-League as well for getting the fixture out. Starts 29th of January, 26 rounds in 23 weeks. They're going to try and do it as quickly as they possibly can. They've got a bit of feedback that maybe the season dragged on a little bit too long. 13 home games are going to be split across Amy and Marvel Stadium for Victory fans as well. So go mvfc.com.au.
Expecting crowds to be back at 25% capacity.
That's good.
How many will that be?
Well, Amy gets in 11 or 12 off the top of my head, Amy Park. So, yeah, 25% of 12, Kingy.
25% of 12 would be 3.
Well done. Yep. Well done.
Cheers.
That's why you should have been a ball kid. It's SEM Breakfast. I was born
bold. Worth's app makes mobile ordering easy. Download it now. The value of coin increased by 4 cents today to $3.64. What is your coin worth today? Summer Breakfast.
Great to be with you on Summer Breakfast. David King and Jack Heverin with thanks to Coin. Shop local with coin.com.au and win. That's Q-O-I-N.com.au. Questions without notice still to come. We'll talk about the Eddie Maguire, well, back-to-back news stories is probably a good way to describe it, King, in the Herald Sun in the last couple of days about Eddie's tenure as Collingwood president.
Under some heat, Ed, isn't he?
Got a lot of texts about it in the last few days. So we'll get to that very, very shortly as well. You can join us across the morning, 1300 736 736 on the phone or 0433 98 11 16 on the text. AIA Vitality, by the way, in partnership with SEN, are giving you 3 months free access to their science-backed, personalised health and wellbeing program. By making healthier choices, you can earn great rewards. It's pretty easy to get involved. Now you can register at sen.com.au/AIA Vitality. We were talking to Robbie Crews from the Melbourne Victory. A-League season at the end of December. Big Bash season 2 weeks away, basically, now.
Awesome. Awesome. We need it.
Coming up very, very quickly. The coach of the Melbourne Renegades, Michael Klinger, joins us here on Summer Brekkie. Michael, good morning. Thanks for your time.
Yeah, good morning. How are you going?
It probably doesn't feel like it for you, but for us it does feel like this Big Bash season's starting to come around pretty quickly.
Yeah, there's been a lot of work involved the last few months. Just to try, obviously from Cricket Australia, to try and get it up and running, and then from all the franchises trying to get their list together, and obviously getting overseas players has been a bit more challenging this year, just with, you know, with quarantines and flights not coming in as often. But it's been, the result's been great. I think there's some great overseas players coming, you know, throughout all the franchises, and hopefully it'll be a great tournament.
How much extra work has had to go in because of, certainly for the first half of the season, a hub scenario split over a couple of states? Has it just meant that there's more time being put into making sure that everything's nailed from that point of view?
Yeah, I mean, from the franchises side of things and Melbourne Renegades, we're obviously just waiting that information from Cricket Australia. So they're working hard on that, and we're just sort of waiting to be told where we go and what we do. I suppose for my... the way I need to look at it is that the strategy involved with, you know, with in hubs, I've spoken to a couple of AFL coaches and worked out what worked for them and what didn't work for them to try and get some information to try and make it the best experience for our players over there as well.
Michael, what were a couple of those things? What were a couple of the pointers that you'll take?
Yeah, I think the main ones is, and it's a theme that I thought I was going to go with anyway, just pretty much when you're on, you're on, and when you're off, you're off. So, you know, like when we're training and we're playing, obviously intensity is going to be high, but then wherever possible, just to give the guys and coaching staff as well, just full days off. So potentially, you know, whether there's commercial things to be done or media things to be done, if we can get them all on the days of training and playing and just let the guys completely switch off on their off days. So that's certainly one. Another one, just to make sure that we're monitoring the players really well, and it's okay to have a bad day. I think that's a general theme, especially when you're away for such a long time. So what we don't want to do is, as well as if a player's going through that situation, is to bombard them too much. Definitely look over them and make sure they're going well. But it might be a situation where we'll have about four or five coaching staff there, and we might have five or six guys each that we just always just look after, make sure they're doing well during that period. So it was some great conversations, and yeah, hopefully we'll be well set to go for the tournament.
As far as your international signings go, and we're talking to Michael Klinger, the coach of the Melbourne Renegades, ahead of the Big Bash season, which is not too far away. Have you tried to put more emphasis, or it seems anyway, you've tried to put more emphasis on having players from an international standpoint who can be there for most, or if not all, of the tournament?
Yeah, that was certainly the way we wanted to go. I think it certainly gives you stability in roles, so guys around them as well know what roles they're going to play. It's challenging because flights aren't that easy to get on at the moment to get into the country. So there's always going to be, I think, throughout this tournament, there's going to be some incidents where things may get thrown around a bit. But that's Riley Russo, who's a middle order or top order batter. He's someone who we targeted because we knew he could be here the whole tournament, and he's such a dynamic player in all T20 franchises around the world. And he probably would have been a long-term South African player as well if he decided to stay in South Africa and not go over and play a lot of county cricket for Hampshire. So he's someone who we certainly targeted. We knew he'd be available the whole tournament. Compared to potentially some of the England guys who at the time we knew they wouldn't be able to get here, till a couple of weeks into the tournament. But also there was a chance they had a couple of other tournaments at that stage. So that was all up in the air. So that was the way we went.
Has your view of the game changed over the last 18 to 24 months, just what you need to do in terms of the aggression to score, or is there a more patient build-up? What are your philosophies on the scoring side of the game, Michael?
Yeah, it certainly needs to be flexible depending on the opposition you're up against, the conditions you're in. But the new rules that have come in this year may change a fair bit. So we've actually got quite a few practice games leading into the Big Bash over the next couple of weeks. Mainly, to be honest, one, to get the guys playing some quality T20 cricket leading the tournament, but also just to get our head around some of the new rules and how best to go about them and to strategize around them. So obviously, you've got, for example, a two-over power play that you can call any time from overs 11 to 19 now. So that could open up a lot of tactics. It could be used, from a team to really get back on target. It could be used for a team to completely blow the opposition team away. So on the other side of it, you could also, from the bowling team, if you get a couple of wickets in that period, if the team goes too hard, then you can get yourself back in the game or get ahead of the game. So there's so many ways it could pan out. And you've got those couple of other rules as well with a replacement player potentially at the 10-over mark. So there's I think that's the biggest thing this year that's going to change from previous years and the previous 24 months, just all the franchises to get our heads around those new rules.
Now, we love young talent coming through with the Big Bash. It's part of one of the great joys is that cricketers, not just Australian cricketers, but international cricketers have been able to come here and build their reputations. I can't say we've seen too many 15-year-olds playing in the Big Bash before, Michael. Tell us more about Noor Ahmed and how long have you been following this young man?
Yeah, so we've been, myself and the list manager, Andrew Lynch, we've been following him for 12 months. And even before I came into the role and Andrew McDonald was in the role, I know he was certainly keeping an eye on him. He played in the Under-19 World Cup for Afghanistan. And I think Andrew's been looking at him for potential for the 100-ball comp that he's coaching in the UK. So I watched quite a lot of footage of him. They played their local T20 comp about 2 months ago. Which they showed live. So I was able to watch a fair bit of that. And he's got some unbelievable skills. He's a left-arm wrist spinner who can spin the ball both ways and bowls at a good pace. So, and certainly doesn't get overawed by any situation. So, yeah, he could be really exciting for us. And, combine him with Imran Tahir, who's at the other end of the spectrum, extremely experienced player. And also, I think it'll be great for Nor just to learn off him as well. So throughout the tournament, we're not 100% how many games Nor will play. It depends a little bit on, you know, when Imran Tahir comes and ready to go. So, but he certainly, I think, can have a huge input in the tournament.
Last one I wanted to ask you about was Marcus Harris. He came back to the Melbourne Renegades last year after losing his spot in the Australian Test team. And for a player as richly talented as he is, he was just out of form and just down on confidence. If anyone's seen Marcus Harris hitting the cricket ball this season so far, he's a different player. You must be excited to have the version of Marcus Harris that you know back at the top of the order this year.
Yes, yeah, certainly. So with Harry, he obviously came back in last year. I think it took him a while to be honest, to probably get over losing his spot in the Test team. And you know, when you come straight from playing Test cricket and really having a focus on that, it can be quite hard to switch straight away into T20 mode. And we also gave him, because Sean Marsh was brought into the squad through when Andrew McDonald was still coaching, then it sort of filled up another top order spot there. So we tried to give him a role in the middle order, a bit like, I suppose, what Mike Hussey did back in the day, where he changed from an opener to a middle order position. It didn't quite work out for Harry last year, but unfortunately, we're not going to have him for the first couple of games. He's going to be with the Australia A side, so, but then he'll come back in potentially after that. So I was lucky enough to bat with Harry for the Perth Scorchers back a few years back, so I could see, you know, from the other end how powerful and how successful he can be batting up at the top of the order. So hopefully he'll get that opportunity there and can show everyone how good he is at T20 cricket, as well as obviously the longer ball stuff.
You've got a very nice batting lineup at your disposal this year. Michael, thanks for your time. We really appreciate it. A bunch of matches that start on December 12, but it goes all the way through until the middle of January. So good luck and thanks for the chat this morning.
Thanks for having me, guys. Cheers.
Michael Klinger, the coach of the Melbourne Renegades. And by the way, speaking of Supercoach, Kingy in the Big Bash, Supercoach yes. BBL is back. Time to register your team, I reckon. The best fantasy game in Australia.
Take on Warnie.
Do you think you'd take down Shane Keith?
Probably not.
No. KFC Supercoach BBL. Register now at supercoach.com.au. You might have just heard Michael Klinger talking there, and maybe one of your first picks is one of his top order, Aaron Finch or Marcus Harris or maybe even Sean Marsh. Or you might take a few of them. Why not? You've got plenty of options at your disposal. Eddie Maguire up next here on SEN Summer Breakfast.